A disheveled figure sits barefoot in a Bahamian penthouse, worth $20 billion on paper, casually discussing how he plans to give it all away. This wasn't some eccentric hermit. This was Sam Bankman-Fried in February 2022, when cryptocurrencies commanded a $2 trillion market. The irony? While being interviewed as crypto's boy genius, he was secretly orchestrating one of history's most audacious fraud. When confronted about suspicions that crypto might be largely fraudulent, his response now reads like a confession hidden in plain sight. It's like the narrative would be way sexier if it was like, "Holy shit, this is the world's biggest Ponzi scheme, right?" Within months, that sexy narrative became reality. The bubble burst, $2 trillion evaporated, and millions discovered their savings had vanished into digital smoke. Picture building a skyscraper on quicksand. That's what the crypto market did with Tether. This stablecoin claimed each token was backed by an actual US dollar in a bank account. By 2021, 55 billion Tether coins circulated as the primary trading currency across exchanges. Without it, the crypto market would halt. The problem? The whole thing appeared held together with duct tape and lies. The characters behind Tether read like financial villains. Giancarlo Devassani, an Italian plastic surgeon turned software pirate, had sold counterfeit Microsoft products. Brock Pierce, a former child actor from the Mighty Ducks, brought baggage from a startup that imploded amid serious misconduct allegations. Their legal documents warned, "We could abscond with the reserve funds." The mathematical impossibility became obvious upon investigation. Tether claimed billions at a small Bahamas bank whose total assets couldn't accommodate such deposits. The British Virgin Islands Financial Investigation Agency, which Tether claimed as their regulator, denied any relationship. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen convened an emergency meeting of top financial officials, fearing Tether could trigger a bank run cascading through markets like Lehman Brothers in 2008. Professional traders admitted knowing it was shakier than claimed, but didn't care because it works until it doesn't. Brock Pierce's path to crypto began with child stardom in the Mighty Ducks and 90s commercials. At 16, he joined Digital Entertainment Network, a video streaming startup that raised $75 million despite dial-up internet making streaming impractical. DEN paid teenage Pierce $250,000 as VP of operations before collapsing amid sexual misconduct allegations against its founder. Pierce's next venture, Internet Gaming Entertainment, pioneered gold farming, employing workers in developing countries to gather virtual items in games like World of Warcraft, then selling them to Western players for real money. IGE generated $5 million monthly, giving Pierce crucial experience with virtual economies before Bitcoin emerged. By 2013, Pierce ran one of the first crypto venture funds. Tether aimed to solve cryptocurrency's volatility by backing each token with $1, creating stability while maintaining crypto's flexibility. Traditional investors recoiled at anonymous value transfers violating anti-money laundering principles. Pierce left in 2015, citing regulatory concerns. Bitfinex, facing banking challenges, acquired the remaining shares and transformed Tether into crucial market infrastructure, though one facing intense scrutiny over whether promised dollar reserves actually existed. Giancarlo Devassini's journey from plastic surgeon to crypto kingpin embodied the industry's ethos. After abandoning medicine in 1992, calling it exploitation of a whim, he moved into electronics, including a criminal case for selling counterfeit Microsoft products. His blog revealed contempt for ordinary people and deep paranoia about traditional banking. Most tellingly, he analyzed Bernie Madoff's Ponzi scheme, not condemning its criminality, but admiring Madoff's technical skill in maintaining the fraud. When hackers stole $72 million from Bitfinex in 2016, Devassini imposed a controversial solution, spreading a 36% loss across all customer accounts and issuing BFX tokens as IOUs. The 2017-2018 crypto boom made those IOUs valuable enough to repay, generating $326 million in profits, while Tether's circulation exploded from $50 million to $1 billion. Success brought banking problems. Wells Fargo terminated their relationship in 2017, stranding Tether's funds. Despite this liquidity crisis, Tether kept issuing new coins. By 2019, the truth emerged. Polish authorities had seized over $850 million from Crypto Capital, Tether's payment processor. Bitfinex had filled the hole by borrowing from Tether's reserves, Devicini essentially signing both sides of a $900 million loan between companies he controlled. Crypto markets barely flinched.
Sam Bankman-Fried, raised by Stanford law professors, embraced utilitarianism at 14, the belief that right actions maximize total utility. At MIT, he encountered effective altruism, advocating earning to give, using mathematical talents on Wall Street and donating earnings rather than pursuing direct service. At Jane Street Capital, he donated half his $200,000 salary, but he grew restless. Using expected value calculations, he determined a riskier path would be more ethical. Even with 95% failure odds, a 5% chance at a billion-dollar outcome would yield greater charitable impact. In late 2017, he spotted massive cryptocurrency arbitrage opportunities. He assembled a team including Gary Wang, Nishad Singh, and Caroline Ellison, naming their company Alameda Research. By December 2017, they were making $4 million monthly from a Berkeley apartment. By February 2022, Bankman-Fried was worth $20 billion. Money flowed into splashy marketing, $135 million for Miami Heat's arena, endorsements with Shaquille O'Neal and Tom Brady. He became one of Washington's biggest donors, distributing $90 million for the 2022 midterms. When asked if his utilitarian philosophy could justify running a scam to fund world-saving research, he claimed charities don't want that money. Within months, revelations that he'd secretly transferred billions in customer funds to cover Alameda's losses led to his arrest on fraud charges. Paris Hilton and Jimmy Fallon's cringeworthy January 2022 exchange on The Tonight Show, showcasing their Bored Ape NFTs purchased for $300,000 and $220,000, captured the craze's absurdity. Within 3 months, floor prices hit $410,000. Celebrities including Steph Curry, Justin Bieber, who paid $1.3 million, Eminem, and Snoop Dogg rushed to own these cartoon apes. Here's what buyers don't actually get: ownership of a unique digital image. Anyone can download the exact same file with a right click. Buyers purchase merely blockchain verification that they paid, like buying a receipt instead of the product. Pixelmon raised $70 million before revealing images that looked like melted Lego animals. Another collection, called Loot, sold black squares with white text listing fantasy items with no actual game, yet commanded $80,000 per square. Bored Apes launched in April 2021 at $220 per ape, reaching 1,000 within a month. By September, Sotheby's auctioned 101 for $24.4 million. Despite claims about profiting from intellectual property rights, few made money. Jason Stone secured representation from Creative Artists Agency, yet meetings went nowhere, deals collapsed, and his only success netted $33,000 for Target action figures. The promised revolution delivered expensive JPEGs with zero utility. The dominoes fell swiftly. Three Arrows Capital, founded by Su Zhu and Kyle Davies, had borrowed heavily to invest in Terra Luna. When Terra collapsed, Three Arrows lost $600 million and defaulted on loans from Celsius, BlockFi, Voyager Digital, and Gemini. Support forums posted suicide hotline numbers. A Nigerian investor hoping to save for a data analytics program was down to his last $20. Celsius customers wrote desperate letters to bankruptcy judges. A Pennsylvania bank manager lost $205,000 in retirement savings. An Irish shepherd lost his farm. A Los Angeles stunt double faced eviction.
Through this chaos, Sam Bankman-Fried emerged looking heroic by providing emergency loans to failing companies. Fortune asked if he was the next Warren Buffett. He made one ominous comment. Some exchanges were already secretly insolvent. Weeks later, FTX itself imploded after revelations that Bankman-Fried had secretly transferred billions in customer funds to Alameda Research to cover trading losses. Cryptocurrency-enabled pig butchering scams that enslaved thousands in Cambodian compounds where workers faced electric shocks for missing quotas. Without crypto's anonymous transactions, these operations generating over $600 million yearly would be impossible. The greatest financial con of the 21st century left a stark lesson. When someone promises revolutionary returns with no clear mechanism for generating value, it's not innovation, it's just an old con dressed in new technology. The blockchain didn't eliminate the need for trust, it just made it easier to hide betrayal behind complexity. In the end, $2 trillion vanished because the system worked exactly as designed, transferring wealth from the many to the few with no accountability and no way to get it back.